This is Simon Walker, Chairman of Constellation, comprising the communications agencies Grayling, Citygate, Dew Rogerson, Red and Quiller. Over the past month, we've been holding breakfast briefings on navigating business through the COVID-19 noise with the leaders of business, media and politics. The feedback from our invited audience was so strong that we thought we would share them on a wider platform. We're in uncertain times. As a former Director General of the Institute of Directors, I know that many businesses up and down the country will be feeling the economic strain of COVID. This is no different for the communications industry, which I've been part of for nearly 40 years. Uncertain times mean change and innovation, which the communications industry has to embrace if it's to help and support its clients. Whether it's about training, employee engagement, risk or reputation, the times ahead are challenging, but I'm sure will offer exciting opportunities for businesses. We as advisors just need to be even more creative and innovative in order to help clients through the emergence from COVID. Our final guest was Sir Ian Cheshire, who is one of Britain's most versatile business leaders. Ian became Group Chief Executive of Kingfisher in 2008, and he won accolades for his early commitment to business sustainability. 5 years ago, he took over from Lord Brown as lead non-executive director for the government, a role he held until a few months ago. He's been senior non-executive director of Whitbread, as well as chairman of Debenhams. He's now a non-executive director of BT, as well as chairman of Barclays UK.
Well, good morning, Simon, and good morning, everyone. A pleasure to be here. I think businesses coping surprisingly well with literally, as OU's phrase, unprecedented levels of crisis here. And there are sort of just three things I want to touch on before going to questions, which is firstly, how the consumer is reacting to this crisis. Secondly, what therefore business models are having to deal with and how business models are changing at such speed. And finally, just a couple of words on the priorities from a boardroom point of view about managing, hopefully increasingly out of this crisis. And I think on the consumer, very briefly, I mean, the consumer went into shock, started paying down debt at a level we've never seen before, basically because it was trying to work out, quite sensibly, trying to work out what is actually happening and going to happen. They're beginning to reemerge. We see a weekly feed from consumer sentiment out of Barclays, and we're already seeing people spending. You know, it was minus 40 on card spending, it's now minus 20. That's still catastrophic for most retail businesses, but we are seeing people start to think about what comes next, but they're generally worried, particularly about quite rightly jobs and their financial position. So I think we're seeing a sort of long swoosh recovery as customers figure out the shape of this new landscape. But it's a very uneven landscape. If you talk to the retirees, they're actually pretty happy with, you know, safe income. They've got their position sorted out. So I think one of the themes we're seeing strongly here is that this isn't affecting everyone equally. There are some disasters, some untouched, and to think carefully about your segments and your customers as the situation still unfolds. In terms of businesses, I think we're seeing extraordinary shifts. Some businesses have seen sort of 5 years change, telescoped into sort of 2 months, particularly obviously online. Shopping has seen a sort of massive shift, but also telemedicine is, and obviously video conferencing, the fact that Zoom is technically worth $60 billion today, probably sounds something like a short opportunity, but it does indicate what's happened. And I think some of those business models won't come back. Others are in sort of deep freeze. But I think what everyone is looking at is how fast their business model has changed and the degree to which they need to rethink. And certainly a lot of businesses, you know, won't reopen in the same shape that they you know, went into this crisis. I think that's also going to put a huge value on something which we've tended in business world to value efficiency, just in time, eliminate waste. I think what we've probably not seen enough of is the value of resilience. Resilience doesn't mean sort of deep Maginot line defenses of, you know, massive stocks in warehouses. It means agility and speed of adaptation, which is all about the flexibility of the teams. And I've been amazed at how Barclays has pivoted from 1,000-odd people working from home averagely in a year to 65,000, and branches being reinvented into distributed call centres. And that resilience and the value of that resilience and the ability of companies to pivot and change rapidly And that agility is going to be the most valuable business asset I can see. Finally, I think that from the boardroom point of view, there are two things that I see people managing more than anything else. One is reputation and trying to work out how to have, you know, if you like, the best possible balance between preserving the organization and making sure, particularly if you're a bank, that you're safe so that you're around for your customers afterwards, but managing your reputation and your ability to do the right thing for the customer. And I think we've seen, obviously that starts with looking after your staff and the most critical thing, but actually trying to work out how you show up. And we've had decisions on from the Barclays end, for example, to put 100 million to community fund because we felt we had to go above and beyond just being there and keeping the lights on. And I think different businesses will manage that reputation risk differently. But the final thing just to touch on was in terms of what we said, being managing sort of market expectation. What's been really striking to me after the initial sort of shutdown shock that happened was how quickly the stock market has recovered, frankly, ahead of the real economy. And we've seen now in the last week, most stock markets around the world hitting already, they're within 10% of their highs of the year, which given the scale of the catastrophe that's sort of still frankly unfolding, seems fairly extraordinary. But what's happened is the markets are making a bet on this massive global government-led liquidity wave, which is hitting markets. And it's allowed a sort of free put for a lot of investors to be able to say, well, actually, you know, whatever happens to the real economy, the governments have effectively underwritten these markets. So for a lot of people, they're beginning to see share prices and expectations potentially in terms of ratings, which are, you know, very high compared to the reality that's outside their door at the moment. And I think for a lot of boards, trying to work out how you really sort of maintain a flow of information to the market that says, look, this is what's actually happening. This is how the situation's unfolding. And therefore, investors can adjust. But it's going to put a premium on your ability to tell your investors what's going on, keep the market informed, and make sure that we're not getting sort of false bubbles in certain situations. So actively managing your communication and managing the market, as well as managing the reality of the day-to-day business, is going to be vital. So just to finish off the sort of opening comment, I mean, I think we are now in a situation which is extremely uneven. You know, we don't have one-size-fits-all crisis. This is life-threatening if you're in travel and hospitality. If you're in some aspects of arguably insurance, although they've got a few reputational challenges to deal with that, it's probably not having much effect. The closer you are to a subscription model. And if you're in tech and certain other aspects, you've had a bumpy year. And, you know, for us at Barclays, we've seen a massive surge in profits in the investment bank and a massive hit to the retail bank. But overall, we're balanced well enough to come out. So this is playing out very differently for different customers, different regions, different industries. The other aspect, second theme, is volatility and uncertainty. And anyone who I think sort of says, right, I know what the new normal is guilty of wishful thinking. So what that adds up to, if you take the unevenness and the volatility, is a real, absolutely overriding importance of agility to react and to be very, very nimble in this next 6 to 12 months, because this situation is unfolding and developing, and there will be multiple casualties. We haven't seen, you know, the beginning of the unemployment or the insolvencies. And there will be also multiple opportunities for businesses, both to reposition, repivot, and also, frankly, to consolidate and work with, you know, different business models and different opportunities going forward. So this is a time where agility is the most valuable thing for business. And businesses need to ask themselves, I think, we thought we had a business model A, what have we actually got? Is that fit for purpose? What can we do differently? And to tap into the incredible creativity that I've seen in businesses who've had to, in the space of 3 weeks, completely reinvent whole sets of models that they thought were fixed and, you know, inviolate. So I think opportunity, but maximum agility, maximum flexibility is really the key thing for that.
Key insights Sir Ian shared with us on the business response to COVID-19. Firstly, a Nike swoosh-shaped recovery. The crisis has seen a catastrophic fall in retail spending and a very uneven impact across the country through different consumer groups. A slow climb out looks the most likely, and encouragingly, consumers are starting to increase their spending. However, they're still worried about their financial position, and the true scale of the permanent economic damage from the crisis won't be evident until the autumn. Secondly, resilience equals agility. The true value of resilience within companies is yet to be seen. Those that bounce back best will be those that operate with agility, speed, and flexibility. There's an opportunity now to reinvent business models. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. However, the current volatility offers multiple opportunities for pivoting and tapping into creativity to reinvent pre-crisis models. Thirdly, proactively managing market expectations. The staggering stock market recovery is built on the expectation of a global government-led liquidity wave hitting markets. It's important that boards proactively communicate the day-to-day realities to investors to avoid leading to false bubbles and misplaced expectations. Over the longer term, we must be looking out for a rise in inflation as a result of this unprecedented level of liquidity injected into the global economy. Fourth, government's economic response. For those businesses which have benefited from the CBILS scheme, they should be aware of the strings attached. The former Conservative government proved after the financial crisis that it was willing and able to recoup its outlay via targeted taxation, at that point on financial services via the bank levy. But government shouldn't look to recover its debt too quickly. It needs to get business back to work as swiftly as possible. Instead, the Chancellor should look to stimulus measures like ramping up infrastructure and skills investment while pivoting to a fairer, greener form of recovery. Fifth, a new future, not a return to the old ways. The fast-track digitalization of the economy offers an opportunity to shift away from manufacturing to value-add services and onto digital. The next phase is about imaging a new future rather than recapturing our old way of operating. As part of this new world, we're likely to see a shift to more hybrid operating models and distributed working practices as more people choose to work from home for at least part of their week. It's also an opportunity to realign supply chains. While we are irreversibly globally integrated, we now know that we can't always count on globalization to deliver. We need to spend more time on the just-in-case side of the supply chain alongside the just-in-time supply chain itself.